And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
...2008. The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. In this episode, a young boy wages war against the Jedi Knight, who left him orphaned, bitter, and alone. And guess what, that boy is Boba Fett. They will be baby clones! Baby hunters! And hey Boba Fett, welcome to the Clone Wars party. We're talking about Death Trap this week. Baby clones!
Guys,
I'm so sorry. Now, multiple times in this episode, you're going to hear me make this voice. Babies! Multiple times. It's already in my notes. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm doing good.
That's good. I should warn the listeners now, tonight, because, you know, we always record ahead of time and stuff
Hope
like that.
Hope might be talking fast tonight.
Well, it is Game 7 of the World Series, and as soon as everybody gets home, you might hear screaming in the next room. So if there is screaming in the background, I promise you, we're all okay. So I just wanted to give you a heads up. But yes, I need to go see the Cubs win the World Series, so let's do this! Are you ready?
I'm ready. You know I'm ready.
I know you are. We'll return next week for your regularly scheduled tangents.
If I start going on a tangent, just say Cubs, and I'll shut right up.
Cubbies! I'll just start singing like the Cubs win song. So anyway, so here we go. Death Trap is the 42nd episode of Star Wars: The Clone Wars, and aired on April 23rd, 2010. It was written by Doug Petrie. I think that's how you say your name.
It is.
It is?
Yes, I know somebody named Rick Petrie with the same spelling.
Okay. It was written by Doug Petrie with staff writer Brian Larson and supervising writer Drew Z. Greenberg. It was directed by Stuart Lee, and this is part one of a three-part finale of season two. It's okay. Some extra episode information for you. Daniel Logan, who played young Boba Fett in the prequels, voiced Boba and all the clone cadets in Clone Wars, except for clone cadet Jax in this episode, who was voiced by Dee Bradley Baker.
Can tell, man, he sounds way different than the other clones. He sounds like an adult.
I had a note about that, actually, about whether or not Jax might be possibly older by a little bit, or maybe just hit the puberty train early. About Boba's ship, Slave One, in the 2015 reference book, Ultimate Star Wars, the Slave One was mistakenly referred to as the Clone One on two occasions. And according to Wikipedia, the clone cadets are only 6 years old! 6 years old, babies! They're too young! In the scene where Boba Fett gets caught infiltrating the Endurance's engine room, he asks the clone trooper if he's holding a certain blaster, which the trooper replies to as affirmative. However, that blaster was in fact a DC-15S, not a DC-15A, in case you give a fuck. In case you're one of those guys that are like, I know every working part of the Millennium Falcon. That was the wrong gun. And I don't like those guys. When Death Trap aired in Australia on June 9, 2011, the scene where a clone trooper was blown up entering Mace Windu's quarters and the scene where Boba Fett hits the clone trooper with the gun were both cut out of the episode. This could have been for writing reasons or because of technical issues. And here we go. In the episode featurette, Dave Filoni says, here we go. Here it is. Boba Fett. this gets to an area that I really try to stay away from, which is direct influencing of a classic movie. Are the prequels considered classics?
Yeah.
Okay. Boba Fett happened because George wanted to get into the mindset of Boba as a boy and the loss of his father. This is going to be a big deal. Boba has one thing to his advantage, which he looks like every soldier in the Clone Army. The concept of him sneaking on board a ship is a great way for him to go about trying to assassinate Mace Windu. He's a young boy, about 10 or 12 years old. He doesn't understand his emotions. He doesn't understand what he's feeling. He doesn't understand his limits or the concept of morality and right and wrong. Aurra Sing had to represent evil. She wants to use Boba to use his malice and his hate and his sadness and his revenge. She wants to turn him into something evil like herself. The character interaction between Aurra and Boba had to work a certain way. The first time she talks to Boba, you don't get that she's cruel. She's devilish, and she's many-layered in her evil. She only reveals it slowly over time. The question is, what does Boba really want? How does he want to resolve this revenge issue? How far is he willing to go to get it? It all becomes too much for him. It has to test his idea of morality, and he's a killer at that point. You know, reading that makes Aurra sound like a freaking Sith Lord.
She's on the edge. She's just pretty amoral. She's kind of nasty.
Mhm.
I don't trust her flying the Slave One.
I wouldn't put it by her shoving everybody out of the airlock in their sleep and then just like taking the ship for herself.
Yeah, I mean, she's totally taking advantage of his being 12 years old and angry.
Yeah, it pretty much gave her a free ship and future jobs and stuff, it looks like. But I don't know, I think it's interesting because I'm sure the Separatists paid very handsomely for killing bounty hunters, so I'm sure she's trying to get in on that bounty a little bit too. So I wouldn't be surprised if that was part of her, the reason why she was doing it. But yeah, I love Aurra Sing, though. She's one of my favorite villains, actually. I think she's just so cool. She has such a cool design.
Now, without a spoiler, do we get more of them later on? Like, I haven't seen anything after season 3, so... Do we get more of Aurra Sing in Boba Fett?
I do know that she is there together. Yes. Is he with her? Is she with him? There is an arc where Boba is late in the show. Like season 5, season 6 area, but I can't remember if Aurra is there or not.
I remember when I first saw this, I thought they were just basically introduced. I thought this was going to be a running thing. I was like, oh, okay, they've introduced Boba Fett into it, and then it just didn't seem to go anywhere.
Yeah. Because I know that she comes back a little bit. I know that there is a Clone Wars arc they never got to. That it was supposed to be Cad Bane taking Boba under his wing.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely concept designs of that. No, she's not in the episode that I'm thinking of. So I think they're together next week. And I think they're together the week after that. But I think after that they part ways. Because I know Boba's with Bosk later in the season. If I remember correctly.
Right, correct.
Yeah. Robbie Baker is the voice of Bosk. I just saw that. I think after this trilogy, this might be the last time, but I could be wrong. Someone correct us on Facebook. I don't know how to tangent into this, because this one's actually really creepy.
I'm going to have to take a shower after this episode, actually, from this one.
Yeah, so our space planetude is actually, you know, me and Chris were talking about it on Facebook earlier today. It's actually kind of creepy.
It's the creepiest of all.
And the thing is like, when I was talking to him, I was like, how is he going to make this, you know, funny? Like, funny, sexy Yoda time like we do every week. I'm kind of ready to go to see how you do it, so. Do you remember your father, Yoda?
That is sad. Sad. Okay.
Oh.
Here we go. I guess Yoda has to do it.
Wow, we have like a serious Yoda this week opposed to a sexy, funny one.
Yoda doesn't feel too comfortable with this.
What if I called you daddy? Oh, I can't do that.
Oh, no, no.
I think it's the, oh, God, I think it's the gross
right
thing when they're like, hey, daddy.
Not
like,
right.
I fucking see people do it all the time to actors. Like,
your daddy who is?
Like,
your daddy who is?
Yeah, like, you know, Sean McGuire will put something on Twitter and then people would just be like, hey, daddy. And I'm like, that's not, you know.
Okay.
Anyway, sorry.
Yoda's just going to wade into this one.
Who's your daddy?
Who my father was matters less than my memory of him. In bed.
I totally forgot about the in bed part.
Oh.
It's freaking week and I totally forgot about it.
Oh. Yoda can scrub and scrub and never feel clean.
Oh my god, I don't know how I forgot that about the in bed was coming.
Well, better to forget. Better to forget.
Oh man, that just made my night. That was fun. Alright.
Alright, let's get past that. Let's leave that right in the dust.
That actually might be the best one.
I can say is that might be, I don't think we're ever going to get one that bad ever again. I might have wanted to call in the fortune cookie on this one and have you crack open the fortune cookie, but this one actually has a lot of meaning without the embed on it.
That's why I was like, this is really deep.
Yeah. And this one actually informs the whole episode. This one enhances it, so it's a good one. Yeah, Boba Fett isn't thinking about his dad being a bad man. His kid angry because he lost his father.
His dad is actually probably, the outside of Palpatine, the most important person in the galaxy at this time, or he was, because he made an entire freaking army.
True.
Maybe. Anyway, Act 1, to get away from that.
Act one.
I forgot about the embed, and it just made it so much worse. All right. God, how much did I write last night? Damn. Anyway, Act one. Let me take a drink of my coffee. So sorry. All right, Act one for like the fifth time. This week, Web Blanket, Windu, and Anakin are on vacation to Bermuda. Just kidding, but they are getting some downtime after stopping a massive Godzilla monster. Or that would have been the case if this was chronological, but it's not. This episode actually directly follows the Mandalore trilogy earlier in the season, so I guess Anakin needed to recover from all the sick quips and fun poking at Obi-Wan. Well, what the Blanket Windu needs a break from trying to force find a cell phone service by waving Yoda around on its stick. You can see previous episodes for that story. It's still my favorite episode. My favorite episode. That's one of my favorite things we ever came up with.
Yoda on a stick.
I'm trying to find the Force service. Anyway, they're having little R&R on a cruiser called the Endurance to meet up with a ship full of, brace yourself for my screaming, baby clones! Baby clones! But the narrator warns us of a hidden danger on board. Bum bum bum. An older clone named Crasher addresses a group of clone cadets on the Rebel ship. On the Republic ship, not the Rebel ship, the Republic ship. He gives a rousing speech about braveness of soldiers and dismisses them. The cadets are so bright-eyed and excited, which is sad since most of them are going to probably die in battle. The other clones ask where their new recruit came from. I'm going to go ahead and spoil this now, since I'm assuming you've watched the episode if you're listening to this podcast. The new recruit is Boba Fett calling himself Lucky. Jax, the leader of the cadets, gets the other babies to leave Lucky alone, and they dock their ship with the Endurance. The baby clones are met with a line of adult clones and stare at them with admiration. Anakin and Wet Blanket Windu greet the cadets, but a clone comes along and tells Anakin and Windu that their kid time is cut short. when they have to go get a new message from Obi-Wan, Anakin is all like, but I wanted to play Bobo Ball with the kids! No! Gosh, Obi-Wan ruins everything. He messed up kid time. I just wanted to play with the kids. Rex doesn't play with me anymore. He only plays with me in guy-on-gun fan fiction. Gosh. The cadets get to practice shooting skeets with the real guns for Admiral Killian. The first cadet misses his targets. The second cadet misses too. But when Boba gets up there, he hits all three targets like it's nothing. And everyone is just like, damn! Boba throws out a dab, and the cadets walk to their next sightseeing bit. Boba easily sneaks away from the group and calls on one of my favorite females, Aura Sing. He runs into a group of older clones who mess with him and give him a bit of a hard time, but it's nothing for Boba to worry about. Boba Fett ain't got time for that. Boba goes to Windu's quarters and sets up a booby trap on the door. He bumps into Windu, who is heading for his quarters, but hurries back to meet with the other cadets. Before Windu can go into his window.
I saw that when I was reading this earlier today, and I was just like, Do tell.
Before Windu can go into his room, a clone tells Windu that Anakin needs him. What blanket gives the clone a thing to put into his room? The clone trips the trap, and an explosion rocks the ship, killing the clone. I'm going to name him Combustion. As the alarm sounds, Windu is like, well, fuck.
Okay, I'm calling first of all, actually, I'm going to play my old person card. What the hell is throws out a dab?
I think it was actually Cam Newton who came up with the dab, who invented the dab. It was a hip-hop scene. Okay, well, the football made it big, but the dab has its origins in the Atlanta hip-hop scene, but there is a disagreement about who originated the dance. Artists frequently mentioned as possible narrators, including Migos and Skibba Da Flippa, Kiwi Longway, and Rich the Kid.
So but it's basically that little victory dance, right?
It's a little dance move where you hold up one arm up in the air, and the other one, you, like, nod your head into your elbow. Just like, bam, and that's a dab.
Oh, okay.
Dab. All right. That's what it is.
I'm calling bullshit on Windu going into his room because, come on, he had his door open, he had his little iPod in his hand, he could have just tossed the iPod on into his bed. And how lazy is it for a Jedi? How urgent was that message, too, that he would be just like, all right, go the extra 4 feet into my room and place this on my desk.
But then where would the episode be?
Right. They could have had an injured Windu. That would have been interesting.
Ooh.
You know? He could have blown up and force blocked it at the last second and just taken most of the brunt of it off. I don't know. But it was a little too plot element. And it's going to sound like I'm nitpicking on a couple things, but I generally really like this episode. Don't the kids look kind of puppety? A little more puppety.
I think they're just all adorable. They all look like they're so cute. Like, one of my favorite things to do is try to imagine, like, Rex and Fives and, like, Hardcase and Tup as little babies. And just baby Rex with his tiny baby cheeks.
And you know how we're talking about, like, the clones have their own hairdos and stuff?
Yeah.
Is this Crasher guy... Is he the first clone we've seen with male pattern baldness, though?
You know, I had a note about that. I was wondering, because, like, it's genetics. I'm wondering if all...
Why would... Yeah. They all seem to have full heads of hair right into old age now that we see Rebels. So why would there be, you know... Why would there be one guy... I mean, are they programming variation into him or something, or...
Maybe... Okay, because I got the feeling that Crusher was older. Like, he was probably, like... first batch of clones out. He's also graying. We haven't seen, other than like clones who have dyed their hair gray, like he is naturally graying. So I'm thinking it's just the fact that he deals with fucking kids all day.
Yeah, maybe. Or he's cut it and doesn't know that that's like, man, he's just like, I figured out this new haircut. Nobody else has this one.
Oh, that could be true too, but yeah, I was getting the feeling that, like, because I really do like seeing Crusher. He's clearly a much older clone, and I was probably saying, like, he was probably one of the first batches out of Kamino. Like, maybe has been on Kamino even way before the Clone Wars, helping to train clones.
Alright, and I'm gonna get dirty now.
Okay, well, we've already gone there, so...
Remember how we were talking about whether clones were fertile and have kids or not?
Yeah.
Now we could have that same conversation with robots. Because that trooper said, mechanical skeet. Right? So do they have, like, some poor... Remember, they're like, what do we use? We use malfunctioning robots. And R2, like, gives a shiver.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's the mechanical robots get stimulated somehow, and then they shoot those little discs out. Right? Mechanical skeet.
Skeet, 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 motherfucker!
Exactly. Skeet, they just got a bunch of old malfunctioning robots strapped to the side of the ship, and it's like, okay, it's target practice time, and they're like, oh, God. And, I don't know. Mechanical skeet sounds like it would be a great, like, song, too. You know, like, dance song.
Shooting. Like, that's what they're called.
I know.
Yeah, though, maybe it's, like, horses.
It sure is used in shooting.
I mean, maybe it's, like, when they breed horses. Like, I have so many friends with horses, so I know this. But, like, a lot of times when it's, like, breeding season, like, someone will put on a big-ass glove that goes all the way up to their shoulder, reach into, a male horse's ass, and just, like, poke its prostate.
Yep. Hey, speaking of that... I have done that, but with a female horse. Or a female cow. Yeah, I grew up on two farms, and the second farm was... I didn't live on it. My best friend down the road lived on it, and I used to go over there all the time and work at the farm and hang out with him. And one day the vet was there, and that's how they give pregnancy tests. Well, that's how they check on how a pregnancy's coming along with a cow. They put on this long glove that goes right up over your shoulder, and you reach in, and you feel the calf in there. And we were watching the vet do it, and he was just like, you guys want to try? And we were like, sure.
It was... Chicago Cubs. Mainly just because I don't know if I want to...
All right, I got one more note. I like the little scene where Windu and Boba just crossing the hall, and Windu gives him a little extra look like, hey. And I'm like thinking, yeah, that's right, you cut his dad's head off.
Yeah.
That's like, he had a little force thing going like, with that kid.
I just feel like, well, I guess there are so many clone cadets, it's probably easy for one of them to look like Boba eventually, because, like, I had him, and I was like, why didn't he recognize Boba? And then I was just like, actually, now I think about it, there's a bajillion and 12 clone cadets, probably. I mean, it's not like, I'm sure there's another kid somewhere in the Army of the Grand Republic that has a terrible 90s haircut, too.
Right, right.
But he wouldn't be the first. Did you have anything else for Act 1?
Nope, that's all I got.
Alright, here we go. So I was trying to think of a good metaphor. When the baby clones see the adult clones when they're arriving on the Endurance. And I guess, like, the best thing I could think of was, it's like when a kid, like, meets a guy in a superhero costume or something, or, like, when they meet a firefighter or something. But I really love that scene, especially when it comes to when the adult clone smiles at the cadets and, like, it makes them, like, really excited.
Well, and the way the clones age, they're not that different in years. There's only 4 years apart. It was only 4 years ago that adult clone was in the same position.
That's exactly what Jack said, too. I mean, which is another one I had. Because Jack says the only thing difference between the clone cadets and the adult clones is experience, which I felt like was a little bit more poignant because Dee Bradley Baker voiced Jax, and that is Rex's key line from the Clone Wars movie. Like, that's his line. You know, the only difference for me, the only thing that matters to me is experience. Like, that's his line. And so I really like that moment, too, because it's just, they're so excited. They're all babies. I could watch, like, baby clones. Like,
yeah, it's double-edged, though, because, like you said before, they're cannon fodder, too, so it's, like...
Yeah. I need someone to draw me a picture of, like, baby Rex and baby Cody, in, like, training and, I need it. I need it in my life, baby. Because, like, I could see, like, baby Cody is so serious, and he has, like, his little toy gun, and baby Rex is trying to be so serious, too, but he's kind of more of an individual, so he wants to go play tag, and Cody's like, no. No, it's target practice time, Rex. He's like, but Cody, we can be target practicing and playing tag. He's like, yeah, I guess so. It's extra training, and they just go play tag. and then Shock T would come along, and Shock T would be like, what you doing, guys? And they're like, we're playing tag and target practice. And she's like, well, that's a very good thing to do. Practice doing both. And then an older Crusher comes along, and he's all like, what are you boys doing? And they're just like, we're playing tag in with cons. And they look up with their little starry eyes, and Crash is just like, oh, you. I can't stay mad at you. Come here. And he just gives them baby hugs.
Oh, boy. Cubbies.
Someone needs to draw this for me.
That's a safe word for this show.
Chicago Cubs?
Cubbies.
Okay, I'll come back. I'll rear back. Okay. Where was I? Being voiced by Dee Bradley Baker and not Daniel Logan like the other cadets, I was wondering if Jax is a little bit older, or maybe he just hit puberty or something. But then I was like, if he's older, then why is he in this group?
I think your brain just naturally picks up he's an adult, especially if he did all the voices of the clones, they'd all sound like kids, but, like, when you have a real young person doing all the other voices in his, it stood right out as being, like, older. He sounded like an older clone, and also the way he barked orders and stuff and talked his whole...
Yeah, because, like,
makes sense.
He did raise, like, the pitch of his voice. It was a much higher pitch than, like, if he was, like, Rex or someone like that.
Right.
But, I mean, you could tell it was him. I'll admit, like, that's why I was, like, thinking that it might have been older. I wonder if Anakin and Windu enjoy working, or I wonder if for Anakin and Windu, if working with the Clone Cadets is similar to working with the Padawans, and I wonder if they really enjoy working with the kids. Like, Anakin, we saw, was disappointed. Mace, I'd just be like, ugh, kids.
Yeah, Windu does not seem like he seems like Picard with Wesley Crusher, which... You don't watch Star Trek The Next Generation, but he does not seem like he would be a kid person. And he didn't seem like he was a kid person way back in episode one dealing with Anakin.
Mm-hmm.
So
I will say, like, because I've mentioned it in a past episode that I really wish we got to see more stories with the other Padawans and their masters. Because we know that Depa Bialba was Mace's Padawan. And so I would have really liked to have seen them together because... Mm-hmm. Depa ended up being Kanan's master, who was Ezra's master, and blah, blah, blah. The line of Windu. the line of wet blanket. I just imagine him, like, wetting a blanket and giving it to Depa.
I pass on this wet... he puts a blanket over their head and then pours, like, a gallon of water over it.
And, like, Kanan did that, and, like, one day, like, he'll just, like, come up to Ezra. Of course, now Kanan is blind. And... He put the
pouring the water Ezra. 3 feet away from his head.
And like Kanan's just like, or Ezra's just like, it's so cold.
It's more like damp blanket, but whatever.
My shoes are wet, Kanan. And Kanan's just like, I just need to try it again, and Hera's just like, stop pouring water in my ship.
Yeah,
Can we pull over and let you do this?
The wet blanket Windu ice bucket challenge.
Yes, and then, yes, right, I like it. Oh, where am I? Oh, for the longest time, I thought Admiral Killian was actually an older clone. I don't know if it was something about his design, or maybe he's just had a similar accent, because we have had Irish and Scottish-sounding clones, like, way, way, way back in season one in the episode Rookies, because Heavy and Fives and Hardcase and all them, not Hardcase, Heavy and Fives and, like, Echo, their sergeant had a very, like, Scottish-Irish-sounding accent in his voice. So I was, like, super high thinking he was a clone and that he got into this, like, really high admiral rank, and I was super excited, and then I was really disappointed.
He's got kind of, well, with the accent, he's also got kind of Scrooge McDuck face, so he's got a little Scrooge McDuck going for me.
Yeah, that makes more sense, because I was trying to put my finger on it. I was like, he kind of sounds like a stereotypical, like, ship captain. Like, I'm going to go, like, Scotty or something. Like, I'm going to go down with my ship captain.
I wish he had three nephews named Huey, Dewey, and Louie. That would have been great.
Aw, and they're all, like, sitting on his, like, on his dashboard or something.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Uncle Killian!
No, I know I misspelled it all throughout my notes because there's only one L, but I spelled Killian all in my notes, like the Once Upon a Time Killian, because I can. These are my notes, fuck damn it. I can make my notes look like
I wonder if he's named after beer. He might be named after beer, too. I'm thinking.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Oh, and the last thing I said is, it's sad that the Clone Cadets already have names for each other, because they all had nicknames, but Crasher still refers to them by numbers, which I'm sure is just part of their training, but it was just like, they're little individuals, tiny little individuals, let them be free!
Yeah, you gotta give them more time to earn their nicknames, you know, so they get the right nicknames. I wonder what Crasher got...
I was thinking that too. Like, well, how many things did he break?
He probably just crashed like a training craft early on, and it stuck or something like that.
That was more like, is he like the Grievous of the clones or something?
Yeah, I wonder if they when they make these characters, if they do the full, you know, back history of every character.
You know,
and you know, give them a reason for their nickname, so the voice actors can have something to work with, you know? So, I wonder if there's a story of why he's Crasher.
Pablo.
In a little book somewhere.
When making the clones for Clone Wars, did every clone have background info
It would probably be sitting in like a writer's handbook somewhere, you know, that they give to the writers of whatever episode they're doing, you know, saying, you know, this character's this and this, and but, you know, I don't know how much detail they go into with characters, if they do every character that has speaking lines or anything like that.
Sure. The moment. Right now. Damn, 140 characters! When making clones for Clone Wars, did every clone have background info for their names? We're just discussing Crasher right now. And Pop.
You're actually asking somebody.
I'm asking Pablo Hidalgo. And
oh, okay.
You were.
I thought you were doing a Google search. I'm like, good luck with this Google search.
Projects or give me another clone. Or pawns. We were wondering how Crasher or Jack or Pons got there.
Jesus, get him on the show.
Death. I know, he's busy. Death. And I've kind of called out his bullshit using... Well, I shouldn't say bullshit, but I've definitely called out things for Rebels and stuff like that when it comes to our Twitter account.
That's okay. That might not be... it doesn't hurt to ask.
Yeah.
Wait, you know, keep an eye out for a weak moment and then strike.
Yeah. Well, let's see if he gets back to us. Yay! Alright, I didn't have anything else to Act 1, did you?
No, ma'am.
Alright, so, Act 2. The ship is definitely awake now. Crasher leads the cadets away, but Boba hears that Windu has survived. He breaks away from the cadets again. Anakin meets with his gal pal Windu as they look over the damage. They realize it wasn't an accident. They call up Killian, who says that the ship is damaged, but it will be up again soon. Until then, the ship is an easy target. Killian out! Boba is freaking out at the failure, and Aura tells him to blow up the core of the ship. He doesn't want to hurt the crew, and she's like, fuck those guys, they're probably gonna die in battle in like 3 days anyway, so whatever, do what I say. Meanwhile, Windu is giving a rather dire speech of, there's a killer on board, so we better catch him. You know, before he kills all of us. Anakin sends out troops to search the ship. Boba gets the reactor, but runs into a clone trooper. The trooper calls for another clone to escort Boba, and Boba is like, ooh, let me look at your shiny gun. The trooper hands him the gun to play with, because that's a smart idea, she said sarcastically. Boba looks like he's about to go all Godfather on the clone, who is begging, "We're brothers! Don't shoot!" And Boba coldly says, "You're not my brother." But luckily, he only stuns the clone. Boba does go all Rambo on the reactor and shoots it up. The reactor blows up and the Jedi are almost blown out into space. They save the Admiral, but now there's a ship on fire, and the Jedi are like, well, fuck. Actually, the stunned clone probably died in the reactor blast too, so he's probably in clone heaven going, well, fuck.
I thought of that too. You know what my only note was?
What?
My only note was to make sure that it was referred to as blown out into space, not sucked out into space.
I knew that. And I started writing sucked, and I was like, no, Chris is going to get off me if I write
sucked. Excellent. Yeah, not a lot to say about this one. The neatest part for me was the scene with him and the clone trooper, and I think you're not my brother thing, I don't think he fully believed that, but he was just trying to talk himself into it. Because he's an angry Ute.
Youths!
Angry little shaver, that one.
Youths everywhere! No, I was kind of wondering about that, too. Like, I think what gets me about this episode is that I think Boba actually kind of likes being around the cadets.
Yeah, it's probably the first time he's ever been around kids, ever. And he didn't like it at first, but you could see he was starting to bond with them.
Well, he did live on Kamino. With Jango.
That's true, but I don't know if he was mixing with the... It seemed like he kind of hung with his dad, you know?
But I don't see why he wouldn't, because, like, you know, that would give him training and, like, kid interaction and stuff like that, so I don't see why he wouldn't be hanging with them.
I don't know. I would like to see that story, actually, of what life with Jango Fett was like growing up.
What if I just, like, a sitcom, like, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, life with Jango.
Yeah, it would be sort of like BJ and the Bear, you know, which you're too young to
Django
remember.
Django and Son.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Sanford and Son, but Django and Son.
Yeah, ba-ba-ba-ba-dum. Yeah. Ba-ba-ba-dum-ba-dum-ba-dum-ba-dum.
Oh, man, that'd be great. Yeah, I had only three notes for this section. It was pretty straightforward. So Windu's Commander Commander Pons is there. So I was like, where is Rex? Why is Rex not on board with Anakin? Where is Rex? Probably doing really cool things. In the scene where Boba is shooting up the reactor, God, they really ramped up the music in that scene. It's like, ba-ba-da-ba-bum, Boba Fett is shooting up the fucking thing. And I was like, what is happening in this scene? Like, it won the award for, like, most over-the-top dramatic music ever. It's just like, and they like, it like kicked in, just like, and I was just like, what is happening?
Ships blow up all the time. It's not that big a deal.
I know. I mean, maybe it was just because, like, Boba Fett is blowing up the fucking ship. But I was like, God, just chill out. He's like, we've seen this happen a bajillion times in Clone Wars where, I mean, Grievous blew up like 12 ships already in the show. Like,
they left a whole trail of ships in his wake.
Yeah, I mean, like freaking Dooku is, like, constantly in the towing shipyard, like, looking at all of the money he's wasting on Grievous. I mean, that's not a big deal. And my only other note that I had is something that, you know, something that's always bothered me about Star Wars?
No, he said, looking at it written right on the screen.
Okay, because, like, this is... For all the movies, this is in Clone Wars, this is in Rebels, like, this is in everything. These ships are either really, really super big, or they are super way understaffed. Because people can really easily sneak around the hallways of the ships, and, like, the hallways are, like, dead empty. There's never fucking people in the hallways. Like, Boba runs into, like, two people in the show, in the hallways, and the rest of the ships, he's running around empty hallways. Rey was able to sneak around the First Order base. Luke, Han, and Leia got around parts of the Death Star without running into people. And, like when Sabine rescued Wedge and Tilly's and Hobby, like, a few episodes back, all she did was, like, she ran into one trooper, shot him, and then ran into Callus. There was nobody else there! And until the alarms went off, and then there were people everywhere. So, like, are these ships, like, really super understaffed in the Star Wars?
No, it's...
There are other people.
I've actually thought about this in the past, and I think what it is the way it... Well, we're talking in a very technological society. So, you know, probably people only have to do certain things on these, you know, the Death Star or whatever. They have certain tasks that they have to do. And it's probably like, this is going to sound weird, a Gigundus high school, right? There's work shifts or, you know, classes or whatever, and the hallways are there, and sometimes the hallways, boom, will be a bustle of people, go, you know, a shift has gotten out and everybody's going back to their quarters and stuff like that, or you know, everybody's going to their shift or whatever, but like... The areas where people just sort of live and have recreation are probably stuck in a certain section, and there's probably people running, like, where the cafeteria is, and people running around there all the time. But a lot of time, there might be long stretches where everybody's in a certain area doing their job, and the hall, you know, there's not really much use for people to, you know, they don't have to go down the hallway to pass on a message or something, you know, they can just pick up their comlink. So there's probably large sections that are just sort of empty for most of the time, and then they'll fill up with people when something's happening. And when you start blasting a ship, yeah, it's like stirring up a bee's nest. Everybody comes out of their rooms and their areas and starts running around. So...
That's true.
Yeah, I don't think it's too implausible.
That's true. I guess the thing is, it's like, it's in everything Star Wars. Like, people can just, like, walk around, like, the First Order base.
It makes it appear bigger, too, you know? Because if you have a lot of people, it might seem a little more cramped, you know?
I guess I was just always thinking, like, I guess they're not always assuming that people are sneaking on board their ship and stuff, and it's all good guys, so I guess there wouldn't need to always be patrols going around.
Right, but right. Man, unless
if there was always patrols and there was always people in the hallways and stuff like that, these would be some mighty short movies.
Right, that's absolutely true.
Yeah, because like Luke, Han, and Leia, well, they did get caught, but they were able to get around for a while and stuff like that, so yeah. Anyway, that's always just kind of bothered me. I was just like, Boba's just walking around the ship like nothing's wrong. So, I didn't have anything else for Act 3, did you?
No. Let's polish this baby off so you can get to the cubbies.
Okay. I'm gonna check the score right fast. No, that's all right. So, Act 3. Hey, the ship's on fire. Admiral Killian makes a big ruse about seeing how they're well-trained cadets. They can run a drill up, get the heck on the safe pods, and get off the ship while you can. The baby clones are just like, we might be 6 years old, but we're mentally 12. Please stop talking down to us, sir. They head for the escape pods. Anakin is like, I don't know why in this entire act I wrote Anakin in all caps locks at all times. I don't know. Anakin is like, Windu, the ship is on fire! Don't be a cool guy that doesn't look at explosions! Be a cool guy that saves your men and gets the heck out of here! He tells R2-D2 to get the fighters prepped and get ready to get the Grievous out of there.
Nice.
I know! I thought about that one. Boba runs into the cadets and follows them to the pods. Boba hops in one, and they fire on out, but he sabotages the pod so it zooms out into the middle of space, way past the rendezvous point. Anakin is like, Killian, get the fuck off the ship! Things are on fire! I think I'm seeing my future life when I'm on fire! Get out now! And Killian is like, screw that, I'm going down with my ship. Windu is like, don't make me carry you. Killian still refuses, and the Jedi have no choice but to leave him. They hop on their fighters and get the heck out. They call Killian, and the Endurance is getting caught in the gravitational pull of a nearby planet. They're going to try and steer it down to the planet's surface. Crasher calls the Jedi, reporting that some of his cadets are missing. Windu and Anakin put together that their saboteur is on the missing escape pod. And the baby clones are stranded in space. Babies, no. Babies. Babies. Jax tells them it's time to sack up, hit some puberty, and do their big boy clone jobs. Suddenly, a shadow passes over the escape pod. It's the Slave One, and the door opens. And there's Aura Singh in all her glory with Bossk. She congratulates Bulba, and the baby clones are just like, "What? You did this to us?" Bulba doesn't want the other clones hurt, and Aura's like, "They're living witnesses, honey. We gotta kill them all." And Bulba is hesitating now. She gives him a choice. Bulba can come with her or stay with the baby clones, who she's planning to jettison into space. Bulba sadly walks away from the cadets and apologizes. Jax is all like, "Yeah, you better run. Oh god, we're gonna freaking die out here." And he wets himself. Okay, I'm kidding. But he does tell Bulba he's gonna regret it one day. Probably the day he's eaten by a sarlacc. As the Netflix titles, subtitles say that dreamy music plays, the Netflix subtitles crack me up. Bulba releases the escape pod into space, and the Slave One flies away. The baby clones are pissed and freaking out. And just as they're turning on Jax for protecting Bulba earlier, the Jedis find the babies. The babies apologize to each other for losing their heads. And Jax hopes that one day Bulba will see that he's wrong. Meanwhile, the Jedi lost contact with Admiral Killian when the Endurance entered the atmosphere. Right about now, Admiral Killian is probably going, "Well, fuck. The end." Yeah. I don't think it's actually in my notes, but, you know, Aura was saying that she was going to jettison them into space, and then they just kind of flew away, so
yeah,
I guess
that's my first note, is why did, you know, that you, if you leave them just sitting in space, they're going to get picked up. Should they could have, they had that, you sort of see a shot, too, of the Slave One getting ready to fly off, but it looks like it's turning its guns towards them. And
yeah,
that would have been where the dramatic music plays, and then they blow up the thing, and it's just like, oh my god, and Bulba watches it in horror, all the while becoming more icy.
Yeah, and the Jedi fly up, and then there's babies floating in space.
Yeah, but yeah, that was weird. They just sort of dropped that whole story thread that they just introduced, you know?
I think when she said jettison them to space, like, you know, like, kind of, like, let them keep floating off
just
into
nothing.
Just
let them stay there till they freeze to death or run out of air or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, like, that was the only thing I was thinking of doing. I guess they were trying to get at. But, yeah, it would have been, or maybe they had originally planned to, like, blow out the door and, like, have these kids floating in space, but I don't know, maybe they just couldn't get away with it with, like, Cartoon Network censors or something.
It's always good also to see the Slave One, and they don't really make a big deal of it. It's just sort of there, you know. They don't get over dramatic.
You know,
it.
The backside of it, like when it's floating away, it actually looks like a mask. Because it's that oval shape, and then it has the two jets, and it looks like very like slit eyes. It looks like a mask flying away.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
But that's all I generally had of this. My only other note was, like, don't they have also, like, a homing beacon on all those escape pods, you know?
They said that the beacon had been damaged.
A bit malfunctioned, okay. So yeah, they covered that.
Yeah, Bubba took care of that, so. He took care of it. Yeah, he did. So, I actually, like, when I was watching the Star Wars Rebels, where are you on Rebels? Did you see the one with Sabine and Wedge?
I have seen the one with Wedge, yes. Were they introduced Wedge?
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Actually, this episode reminds me a lot of that episode, which is the Antilles Extraction. And I guess the other way around, when I was watching the Antilles Extraction, it reminded me of this episode. I think I just kind of like seeing these kids and like that kind of training situation and like seeing kind of like how the clone army worked at a young age, and it kind of reminded me of that one, like seeing how the Empire works at a young age too.
Yeah.
I thought it was just really cool, like that. So I'm kind of glad we got to this episode right away.
The Antilles Extraction sounds like a trip to the dentist.
Oh.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, listeners, you didn't hear the conversation before we started, but I might have to have like a tooth pulled next week, and I'm not really excited about it. So.
Cubbies, cubbies, cubbies.
Cubbies. I know. We'll see how it goes. I have to see if they...
I just don't like to think about tooth pain. I've had some nightmare experiences in my past when I was about your age.
Yep. Mm. So, God, I do freaking love Aura Sing. And then I started thinking about it. Like, I don't think we ever have, like, really a background episode with her. And, like, whenever she's here, she's always, like, in groups and stuff like that. Like, this is really, like, one of her few, like, big things where she's leading and everything. And I just wish we had more, like, episodes with her, which I would love to see an arc with, like, her and Asajj Ventress team up. That would be awesome!
Yes.
I would pay
or fight each other.
Pay money to see that.
Or fight each other for some reason. They could very plausibly be at odds on something too.
Oh yeah, man. Oh, that'd been so good. Crusher's face when he hears that the cadets are okay. He's so relieved and he smiles like a little proud daddy. Oh. No. Not that kind of daddy. But, like, it made me wonder if, like, how much he, like, really loves them and stuff like that, which is why I was thinking that he's might have been training kids for a while, and he's kind of like a pseudo-older brother, father figure kind of person. Mm-hmm. I just think, out of everybody, he probably has the most fun out of all the clone jobs, because he gets to play with kids all day. Okay, not, like, play with kids, but train kids.
Yeah.
And he probably gets to see them grow up, but it's probably really sad because he knows that they're all going to grow up to die.
And they grow up really, you know, the whole, like, oh, they grow up so fast. It's really true with the clones.
Oh, I know. Oh, babies! No, okay, this was actually a question for you. I wasn't really in the Star Wars fandom at the time that this episode came back. So, I really wish I was. Like, man, I would have loved to have been in the fandom during the run of Clone Wars, but I just wasn't. So, do you remember the fandom's reaction to seeing Boba Fett in Clone Wars? Like, did they love it, or did they hate it, or, like, were they on the fence? Like,
remember, I don't think it really made a big wave because, well, I think in the early, the first three seasons that I watched, fans were mostly griping and sniping, I found, or what I was hearing. But, like, I think there would have been a lot bigger, although it doesn't work out timeline-wise, there would have been a lot bigger deal if it was Boba Fett in his Mandalorian armor, you know, and flying around with Slave One. That, I think, would have gotten people, you know, really excited. But the young Boba Fett thing... I don't think people were so excited about it because it reminded them of young Anakin. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, look, it's a future bad guy who's young and sad over the death of their father. And they could have really played up the parallels between Anakin and Boba Fett.
Oh, yeah, because we already did say that Aura was like a Sith Lord.
There's a very similar thing, you know, sort of background going on there, but... Yeah, you know, like I said, he doesn't really become... I thought he was going to become more of a character in the show, and it didn't pan out to that.
I think it's kind of like what we were talking about.
I think it was for the better that they didn't, but yeah, I expected it.
How we were talking about, like, Tandivo or, like, characters like Hondo, where, like, they're really good in small amounts, but if you had too much, it'd be, like, you'd really get sick of those characters. And I can see how they didn't want it to be, like, the Boba Fett show.
Well, right, and Boba Fett's, like, he's a side character, and it's, like, if you start working all these, like, every character into the, you know, interrelated into all the story too much, you kind of, you can ruin it for their future, so.
Yeah, I mean, that's what Filoni did with Ahsoka and Rebels. Like, he said that, like, he didn't bring in Ahsoka into season two because he did not want it to be the Ahsoka show.
Right.
The story is about the Ghost Crew.
And that was very wise because by the time Ahsoka showed up, it was like, yes, but you'd already had the whole crew established. So it was like this added flavor to it rather than like if they introduced her too early, there's a risk, you know, that maybe she would have been very popular and the writers would have been like, hey, let's write this up, and you would have had Clone Wars 2. Yeah.
Yeah. And like same thing goes for like if they do bring in Obi-Wan, like we've been talking whether or not they'll bring in Obi-Wan into Rebels, I think the only way they would do that if it somehow ties in with the Ghost Crew. It's not like you're going to have a mission. You have to have someone from the Ghost Crew there. And so right. It's not like they're having a mission where it's just like it's solo. Though I would be very happy to watch a very special episode of Rebels where it's just Obi-Wan. That would be great. I would totally watch the fuck out of that, but they're not going to do that.
Yeah, no, I would really love that.
So I think it's smart, but... And then my last note was, I know that Filoni was really hesitant, but I really love seeing young Boba Fett before he was a full bounty hunter. I mean, he's just a poor, confused little youth. Youth. And he's just, he's just surrounded by, like, all these clones who would have, like, willingly accepted him as his brother. And they could have, like, you know, it probably have been short-lived because it probably would have all died in battle, but this could have been, like, a family that he could have easily been a part of. And, like we said, I do think he has some attachments to the clones, which makes it so heartbreaking, like, when he walks away from Jax and the other clone babies. He could have been babies with the babies. 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 They're babies. I want to pinch all their cheeks. Oh, I want baby rice. Please draw me a picture of baby Rex.
Why do you want to pinch all their cheeks? They're all the same. Pinch one cheek, you pinch them all.
No.
You had your chance with Boba, too.
Oh, God.
You could have been pinching all kinds of cheeks.
I'm good. Pretty sure he was still drunk from, like, the night before. So. But I didn't have anything else for this episode, did you?
You'd be drunk, too, if you held your dad's severed head in your hands.
You mean if that was the only thing I'd been known for in my acting career?
Yeah, that too.
Oh, damn!
Oh.
Do the dab. I just dabbed to, like, smack my chicken cheek. Anyway, so bring us up with your review, your episode recap, your score. Score is the word I was looking for.
Time to score. I really like this episode.
Like I almost scored with Boba Fett.
Oh.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
I really like this episode. I'm giving it 0.5 over my generic good solid episode for having Aura Sang and Boba Fett and some nice moments in it. So it's getting an 8.0. That's getting a decent score.
Yay. Why?
I thought it was a little better than average. I liked the idea they came up with to introduce Boba Fett was excellent, you know, and it made sense, you know. You could slip him in with a bunch of clone recruits, and by putting in Boba Fett, it works out for you because you get a whole bunch of baby clones too, you know, that had to be put in there because of to get Boba Fett in there. And I like that he is going to kill Mace Windu. That's his, you know, he's on his a revenge mission against a Jedi, a 12-year-old kid going to take out a Jedi, and he almost does it too. So, and in the meantime, he takes out a whole giant ship. So yeah, I really enjoyed it. It's not your average action-packed episode. There's a lot of talking and walking around the ship, but yeah, it was fine. I really liked it.
Actually, question. So, did you know that Boba was coming, or were you surprised, like, oh, man, it's Boba Fett?
I didn't know he was coming when I watched it the first time. No, I didn't. I did not. I didn't follow the fandom really closely, so I wasn't looking to see what was coming next. I was just sort of, you know, hey, new episode of Clone Wars, you know, and trying to keep it like that, so each one was like sort of a fresh surprise. So I was not expecting Boba Fett, although I was thinking in the back of my head that, you know, we might see him sometime. It's a possibility.
So, like, was it like a good surprise when he showed up? Like, oh man.
Yeah, because they didn't they handled it well. It wasn't really cheesy or anything. It made sense within his character.
Well, that's good. I was just curious. So, I do remember the first time I saw this episode, because I was excited for the baby clones. But when I realized Boba Fett was there, I was super excited. So, there wasn't much on Fett other than him as an adult in the original trilogy and him as a kid in the prequels. So I really loved this episode and getting to see, like, what made him tick and, like, starting on his path to being a bounty hunter that got, like, being the bounty hunter that got Han Solo. And I think this was such a smart thing to do since Boba didn't have that much in the original movies. Because if you remember, Filoni said that he created Cad Bane to be a cooler version of Boba Fett from the original movies. And now we're getting to see Boba in action, and it's really great. And plus, I love seeing all the clones interacting with the cadets, but the only thing about this episode I just wish we had more Aurra Sing. So I give it an 8.5 out of 10.
Ooh.
Babies.
I was kind of, you know, it's funny, I was kind of thinking you were going, like, a little below me. I thought you were going, like, 7 or 7.5, so, yeah.
An entire episode.
I don't know why I thought that, but that's what I thought.
Babies. Baby. That should just be the summary, just baby clones. Join Hope Onyx and Chris Honeywell this week with baby clones. And, like, that's the summary. Don't do that.
Okay.
But maybe just, like, in big letters that someone put, like, baby clothes. Here, Hope, take a drink every time Hope says babies. Be our drinking game episode. All right, so as always, we would love to hear your feedback on iTunes, because that helps people find the show. But we also want to see your feedback on Twitter and on Two True Freaks Facebook page. And I didn't put it in the notes, but I just wanted to give a little shout-out to our friend John Wilson. He tagged us earlier in the week on Twitter, and sadly, John's brother passed away, and he wrote to us a list of podcasts that was keeping him company as he grieved for his brother, and he tagged us into that. So, John, like, we're really glad that, you know, even if it's through the internet, that we're here for you, and we are very sorry about the loss of your brother. And so just with our love and everything, like, thank you for supporting us. And I'm glad that we could have been there to help you out. And I am sorry.
Yeah, hang tough, man. That's awful.
Yeah, so I'm glad we were there for you. This week our feedback comes from our Facebook page from our friends Alan Middleton, Gene Hendricks, and Aaron Henley for the episode The Voyage of Temptation. One of these has a picture attached to it because I just copied and pasted straight from.
I saw that.
Yeah, I just copied and pasted it straight from Facebook. So I'll read that one, which is, remember in Voyage of Temptation, Chris and I couldn't remember the things that cover, like, dishes that go voila. And Alan, Professor Alan sent us cloak and a picture of it. And we're like, yeah, that's
the one.
That's the thing. So, do you want to read the rest of the,
yes. The thing? Now, this is referencing something, I think, in the show that I don't remember what we said, so you might have
to... I don't remember it either. I think you were picking on me. That's the only thing I think of. Or I think I said that, like, if you picked on me, I would get Gene or something.
Yeah, and so Gene says, you know, Hope, I don't know what I'd do if you called me about Honeywell harassing you either. The conversation might sound like this. Hope, Gene, he was at it again. Gene, so what do you want me to do about it? Hope, every day! Gene, let him.
That just reminded me of last week when you were talking about your show, Get him.
This makes me sound like some kind of harasser, serial harasser. And I know that tape of me on the bus came out. And I'll get ahead of it and I'll play it right now. Yeah, you know, it's good. It's good being a big podcaster. I can just do whatever I want, you know. I mean, I see someone standing around there. I just walk up to them. I start podcasting with them. Yeah. I don't even ask. Yeah, I know it's a terrible recording, but, you know, I have to live with it, and I might as well get ahead of it. Yes, it's true. That was a younger me. You know, I didn't know they were recording me on that bus, and, you know, I just want to say to anybody, that's not me.
Well, the sad thing is this podcast will come out after the election, so we'll see how that goes. All right. Oh, so you want to read Aaron's comment?
Oh yeah, by the time people hear this, we're in the phase where we don't know who our next president are gonna be. So yeah, that's gonna be weird.
Stop it.
Okay, let's see. And we got one more from Aaron Henley. There's no question that James Arnold Taylor brought his A-game for this episode. Now, which episode are we talking about with this?
Voyage of Temptation. The Love Boat.
Ah. Also, it doesn't surprise me that tracking technology is so messed up in the Star Wars universe. To paraphrase Hope, they can travel the galaxy in a day, but they can't run a simple ultrasound to find out that Padme has twins. Exactly. Well, either that or she was a really bad expecting mother. That's a tangent for another time, and it could very well be also. So, spider assassin droids and puppeteering dead clones. Okay, Dave Filoni, thank you for the nightmares that will be coming. But then again, that's okay. We should get scared because it is a scary thing happening. Great episode of The Clone Wars and another great episode of J-Guys. Yeah, we know.
Yeah, thanks. We know. We're fabulous.
Was it a great episode or was it a classy episode?
Probably classy, knowing us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, where can
this one was especially classy.
This one was something. I think from now on out, our safe word is going to be cubbies.
Cubbies.
People, like new listeners, who are just like, oh, I'll just listen to the most recent episode, are gonna have no idea what the fuck we're talking about.
Yeah, it's got creepy daddy issue things going on in it. I don't know why. What does this have to do with Star Wars?
I don't know. So where can people find you, Chris?
You can find me at twotruefreaks.com, of where we have just like, if we had a fishbowl full of podcasts, that fishbowl would be 17 feet high and hold over 350,000 gallons of water. It's a big fish tank. And, you know, we've got the classics, Back to the Bin, the Vault of Starling, Monster Horror Tales of Terror, J-Guys and Jedi, all the ones that I'm in. You got your Garage Sale of Glow. We've got No Councils for Old Men, just recently started dropping some video game podcasts again after a little hiatus, and we've got
looking at it right now. They just did zombie games for Halloween.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What was the other one that I was? Oh yeah, and from that same crew, he's covering a lot of the Scott 2.0. He's covering a lot of the current TV shows, and he's been picking up on like Fear the Walking Dead and doing episodes with Brian Hughes and his wife and Lou from Mindless Drivel show. So he's covered a lot of the current stuff, and I think they're going to cover even a lot of the current Walking Dead, because Dr. Bill Robinson and I are about 4 years behind, you know, on our coverage of The Walking Dead, you know, in the timeline. So, yeah, we're putting out a lot of stuff. So hop on over to twotruefreaks.com. What about you, Hope? You're all over the internets, too.
I just gotta say about Walking Dead, I work in a comic book store, and before, like, the whole thing with Premiere, like, where Glenn died and everything, I had a customer come in, and they're just like, do you know what volume, like, left up on the finale? And I was like, yeah, it's volume 17. And she opens it, and she, like, flips through it, and she gets to the scene where Glenn dies, and she looks at me and just goes, why are you selling this? It's a spoiler. And I was just like, the comics were running, like, 7 years before the show ever started. Glenn died, like, 7 years before this.
Yeah. No, Glenn only died, like, 3 years ago in the comics, 2 or 3 years ago, but still, yeah.
Yeah, so I was just like, I kind of looked at her, I was like, what?
You keep using that word, I don't think you know what it means.
I know, so. Anyway, I run our Twitter, at JGuysAndJedi, you can follow us on there. Our friend Gene Hendricks runs the Two True Freaks Twitter, and you can always go say hi to him. Hi, Gene. You can find me at Hope Molinax, where I like to live tweet Star Wars Rebels episodes on Saturday. I also live tweet, like, Once Upon a Time, and I've recently started live tweeting Timeless, stuff like that. I do live tweets, and I'm also the news beat writer for WhatTheFangirl.com. So please come check me out over there, because we get paid through ad revenue, so the more of you guys see my stuff, so I get paid. Thanks.
Yay.
Yay. So I don't have anything else, do you?
No, we're getting near the end of the season, so...
Yeah, two more episodes.
You guys better gear up. We got two more episodes. We got a recap. We got the prequel trilogy's coming, and all of it's gonna, like,
In an episode of My Mommy.
Yeah, that's coming too. I just put that on the editing board and started giving it its little pre-editing treatment. So that one's coming out. You guys are in for a treat on that one. It's some 2 hours of well, I don't even want to say. I'll wait till it comes out because let's just say wine was involved.
I'm excited for it because I was fucking drunk.
There's gonna be points. Yeah, I know there's points where you're. I know. Let's just say this. Hope and her mom are gonna want to listen to this episode, so they know what they said.
I was drunk. I remember the beginning of it. And I think at one point I was like, "Yeah, Chekhov died."
Yeah, there's a little bit of stream crossing going on when you cross alcohol with Jay Guys and Jedi and throw Hope's mom into the mix. So it's gonna be an interesting. It's an interesting show. So look forward to that.
All right. Well, I guess until next time, let the daddy issues be with you, cubbies.
Cubbies.
Cubbies. Okay.
Baseball season's underway. Well, you better get ready for a brand new day. Hey, Chicago, what do you say? The Cubs are gonna win today. They're singing, go Cubs, go! Go Cubs, go! Hey, Chicago, what do you say? The Cubs are gonna win today. Go Cubs, go!
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at twotruefreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, Two True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the Two True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at twotruefreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled T-W-O. T-R-U-E-F-R-E-A-K-S.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at twotruefreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks. If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show, too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
I got it in the tip of my tongue.
Come on.
Oh, golly, I'm not even... Let me see. Oh! Alexander Dumbass! Oh, Henry Dumbass!